programs, many things devoted to this topic. And if we're not careful, we can easily get the impression that life really does consist of possessions. Money, nice house, nice car, your investments. As the saying goes, he who dies with the most toys wins. There's a lot of people that have this philosophy of life. He who dies with the most toys wins. Well, today, I want to look at Jesus' investment advice in Matthew 6. And we're going to begin in verse 19. Stand with me and let's read together verses 19 through 24. If you have the New King James, read it from your Bible. If not, look on the overhead and read it with me. Are you ready? Are you ready, choir? Okay, here we go. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp is the eye. Let's start that one over again. The lamp of the body is the eye. If, therefore, your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word to us today. Lord, help us to understand what you are saying to us here. And may we rethink our life, the things, Lord, that we are seeking to invest ourselves into. May we take your words to heart. Lord, I thank you for all of our dads that are here, and I pray your blessings upon them. But Lord, I pray that they would be godly dads, the kind of dads that you want them to be, that you've asked them to be. Lord, may they be godly men. If there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, may today be that day of salvation for them. May they come in faith, we pray, in Jesus' name. We say, please take a seat. Firstly, we see there are two choices laid out here before us. Let me again take a look, draw your attention to verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Two options given that we can invest in. That is where you can invest your time, your energy, your money, your effort, everything about your life. The first option is what we're going to call earthly investments. Earthly investments. And the truth is, most people tend to choose this one. This one is tangible. This one is appealing to them. What are we talking about? Simply accumulating wealth. Using your time, energy, everything that you have, your life, to get things. And you know what? You never have enough things. Amen? You will never be satisfied if you're seeking to find your satisfaction in things. Because it's never enough. A big bank account, investment properties, a flash car, nice house. Because there's always going to be something better out of your reach. When considering investments, what is one of the biggest things that people consider when they look at putting money into something? One of the biggest things is this word called risk, isn't it? How much risk is there? Because with every investment, there's risk. There are two things that are usually considered safe investments. Do you know what they are? Two things. Safe investments. The safest of investments. Do I got a picture up there? Okay. What is this? Okay. First of all, houses. That's why we get the term safe as houses. Okay. So people assume you buy a house, it's a pretty safe investment. It's likely, it goes up and down in value at times, but it's likely to increase in value. But the other thing is, of course, money in the bank. All right? Now, they're both considered safe investments, aren't they? Money in the bank is safe, therefore not much risk, therefore not much return. The bigger the risk, the bigger the return. This is basic stuff. But yet we've seen, even in recent years, that these kinds of things aren't fully safe either. They're not fully safe. Countries like Greece have shown that you can even lose money in the bank that you were saving, that you had. It's not fully secure. Housing markets crash. And we're not immune from such things happening here either. People end up owing more money on their house than what the house is worth. Or you lose a lot of money in your house. These things can happen. And this is what Jesus is telling us. No matter how safe you think these kinds of investments are, there's always a huge risk with them. He's saying, therefore, don't lay up your treasures on earth where there's these huge risks. He mentions three things. He mentions moths, he mentions rust, and he mentions thieves. All of these involve the losing of your investments. They involve losing them. There's a huge risk with them. He's saying that even if you avoid all of these pitfalls and do very well, and you manage at the end of your life to save all of your money, you still can't even take them with you. It's still pointless at the end because you can't take it with you. It means nothing. He who dies with the most toys may win the game, but he still dies. You recognize this fellow here? You recognize this guy? He's handsome. Kind of like me. He's handsome. But you recognize him or not? Yes. His name is Graham Hart. Who is Graham Hart? The richest Kiwi. Now, by world standards, he's peanuts, I'm sure. But he still, last I saw, was worth $7.5 billion. Billion dollars. Do you know how much $1 billion is? I mean, that's more than I make in a whole lifetime. Well, a lot more, guys. It's 1,000. $1 billion is 1,000 million. I mean, 1 million is a lot of money. 1,000 million. And then another 1,000 million is $7.5 billion. I don't know Graham Hart. I don't even know if he's a believer. I don't know anything about him except his net worth. But yet, no matter how much he has made, I do know that he cannot take a single cent with him when he faces God. He cannot take a single cent with him when he eventually faces his Maker. And this is why Jesus is urging us to rethink things, rethink our investment strategies. So there's the earthly investments. There's another option given by Jesus, and that is, of course, heavenly investments. Heavenly investments. Have you considered this sort of investment? This is an investment that has eternal returns. You can take this with you. He puts it this way. The heavenly investment is a place, it's an investment where there's no moths, no rust, and no thieves to steal it. No one can take that away. It's a foolproof investment, and it sounds too good to be true, so there must be a catch. And there is, sort of. You see, the catch is that you must invest in one or the other. You cannot try to invest in both. If, for example, you were given $10,000 and told to invest, but you can either put it in a term deposit or towards a house purchase, but it must go to one or the other. This is what he is saying here. You cannot do both. He states that, as he says in verse 25, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. So that's not an option. It's not an option as far as God is concerned. So how do we invest in heavenly things? You say, yes, I'm all in. I want this kind of investment. He gives us a heads up in verse number 33. What does it say? You know this, Matthew 6, 33. Where is it? What is this? Yeah, I don't know what that is. Okay, let's read this one. Ready? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. This is investing in heavenly things, seeking God's kingdom first and his righteousness. Having Jesus as the Lord of your life. Yes, it involves, of course, trusting him as your Savior, but it also involves following him and obeying him as the Lord of your life in all things. Essentially, it means putting God number one in every area of your life. It includes how we live our life, that is our character, what the kind of person that we are. We want to seek to live a life that is well-pleasing to our Lord, because he has given so much to us and we want to give our lives back to him. It involves being obedient to God's commands in our lives. It includes sharing God's truth and sharing his plan of humanity and salvation with our family, with people around us that God has brought into our lives, within our church. It includes doing what we can to see the gospel given to the uttermost parts of the earth. It includes helping people in need. Jesus' investment advice is to invest those things in those things with our time, our energy, and yes, our money. The things of God, eternal things, things of eternal significance. Not things that can be taken away from us. Not things that we cannot take into eternity with us. Now, am I saying that if you do these things, if you live a life, holy and pleasing to God and serve him, then you will be saved through them? And the answer must be no. We are saved by God's grace. It is a gift to us. It is not by our works, not by our merit. We are totally saved by grace through faith. We cannot earn it. Only repenting of your sin and looking to Jesus, his grace, his mercy, will save you and get you to heaven. But then, once you are saved, Jesus says, now let's take a look at what you are investing yourself into. Where are your investments? Are they in earthly things or are they in heavenly things? If you haven't come to Jesus in true repentance, I want to encourage you today, come to him, trust him. Being a Christian is not about doing, it's not about going to church, it's not about just reading, it's not even about praying. It's about trusting in what Jesus Christ has done for you on your behalf. Come to him in faith, repenting of your sins, your own way, your own self, and your own efforts. And trust in him fully. The Bible says everyone who does that, he doesn't turn away. And you become a new creation from the inside out. And then you can invest yourself in the things of heaven as well. Eternal things. The second point here that we see. The choices we make show where our heart is. They show it. Now while our heavenly investments don't get us to heaven, working on eternal things, that's not what gets us to heaven. They do indicate where our true allegiances lie, where our heart really is. And that's what Jesus talks about in the rest of this passage. He's not just giving advice. He's telling us that where we put our time and effort and money is a surefire indicator of where our heart is and where our true allegiance is. He says in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Right? You got that? Where your treasure is, that's an indication of what is most important to you. And if your focus is on things, and building up your portfolio of investments, that's really an indication of where your heart is, more than on eternal things, more than on God. Let me show you a picture. What is this picture? Yes. You know what that is? It's somebody's fingers, but what's on that finger? It's a big rock. It's a big engagement ring. Now, is Will and Alice here? They're in the kitchen. Would you ask them to come in, please, Josh? Thank you. I want to use them as an illustration. Oh, they're going to love it. So what kind of ring is this? Engagement ring. Isn't that nice? Just recently, another young couple in our church got engaged. Got engaged. And the other night, I came and I talked to them and I asked them, is it true? And with a big smile on her face, she says, yes, it is. And she showed me this rock, and it was huge. And I said, man, you know, that's going to put your back out. You're going to be walking like this soon. Can't imagine that. Okay. Oh, here they are. Will, hello. And this is Alice. Sorry, Will. We're using you as an illustration. Okay. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Alice, show everybody your big rock. Thanks for the tissues, Will. Hold up your hand, Alice, like the picture there. There you go. Congratulations, guys. We're very proud of you, happy for you. Now just go. You're the illustration. Wait. Okay, so we're talking about a young couple. They're in love. They get engaged. He gives her a big rock on her finger. So why would a guy, a young fella, spend so much money on just a rock that's been dug out of the ground to give to a young lady? But you know what else? I bet you that even if he gets home from work one day and he's really tired, and then she calls on the phone and says, you know, I'd really like to see you. I bet you he's ready to go. And he says, okay, where do you want to meet? Why? Because the treasure, his treasure, that is his time, his energy, and obviously now his money, belongs to her. He loves her. And what does that indicate according to Jesus and Matthew? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So his heart belongs to her. Amen? Okay, thank you. Go ahead and you may leave now. I'm sorry to make you feel uncomfortable. So that's what he's indicating here. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. And then Jesus says the following in verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You might be saying, what is he talking about here? It's really a wordy way of saying something very simple. Jesus is using a word picture. The basic analogy is the eyes. And if you have bad eyes, you're not able to see very clearly at all. You live in darkness. And so this is a spiritual analogy that he's giving here. The basic truth is, spiritually, we are all blind from birth. We're dead to God. We're blind spiritually speaking. Only God can give sight to the blind and make us see and be in the light, because God is light. And we who are in him, we walk in light. We live our lives in the light. So the implication is, the one who is more focused on earthly treasure, that's where his heart is. And he cannot at the same time be spiritually in the light. Cannot be in the light. So brothers and sisters, walk in the light. You who belong to Christ, change. Put your affections on things above, not on things here on the earth. Number three, closing question. Who or what? Oh, what does it say? Who or what will you love? Now, the next verse in our passage is easy to understand. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, the word masters here is the Greek word kurios. It's translated elsewhere in the scriptures consistently as Lord. When we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's using this word kurios. He is our Lord. The Lord means the one who's in charge, the one that we obey, the one who is our master. That's kurios. Jesus said there's two possibilities in your life, serving either God or your possessions and your wealth. But you cannot have it both ways. You cannot have two kurios, two masters, two lords. What's interesting here is that many think they can have two masters. A lot of Christians try to live their lives with this mentality in mind. They think of it differently. Let me give you an illustration. Here's a picture of somebody. What is she? She's a bank teller, okay? That's what she does. So let's say in the daytime, I'm working at a local bank. I'm a bank teller. I have an employer. He pays me my wages. I work a regular job, and I do this all day. But then there's another job that I take on board. I have a nighttime job. And what is this guy? He's a waiter. I work as a waiter. So I'm working two jobs. I have two employers. By the way, there was a time when I, just before me and Jen got married, I had four jobs. I was in school, and I had four jobs. They were all part-time, but I was running all over the place. I went to classes in the morning. In the early afternoon, I had a job. After dinner, I had another job till about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, I had to get up and deliver newspapers. So I was doing four jobs, not sleeping. And that's when I told, I had Jennifer help me out for a while there. And so I thought I had to marry her because she was helping me so much. But let's say I got these two jobs. I have two masters. But the thing here is the word serve, no man can serve two masters. The word serve here is referencing not just waiting on tables at a job. It's referencing a slave, not employment. You understand? There's a difference. A slave, not employment. That means if you are serving God, it requires 100% allegiance. You cannot serve God and then go off and serve another master at the same time. It just made no sense. The people listening to this understood this. But we have Christians today that think that they can serve God with their spare time, maybe on weekends, but the rest of the time is theirs. And they serve their pursuits. They serve their ambitions and their desires more than anything. And okay, I'll do my church duty on the weekends. They're serving two masters. Jesus says you cannot do that. God requires 100% allegiance. And then we have the word mammon. Generally, mammon just means your money, your wealth, your property. It's not just money itself. It's your possessions, the things that you are gathering to yourself, the things that you're accumulating, trying to get a hold of. This is the mammon in your life. God says you cannot serve him and mammon. You cannot serve both. You will love one and hate the other. These are strong words. So, to be a true Christian of Jesus Christ, if Jesus is your Lord, you must just hate money. Amen? And you must get rid of it. And so, I'm putting a basket in the back of the church on your way out. And you can put it in there, and I'll take it off of your hands. So, but really, practically, what does it mean as Christian believers here in New Zealand. Do we need money? Of course, we live. We need to pay our rent. We need to pay, you know, people for our purchases to eat. We need to pay our bills. We need to be responsible. Paul even said in the scriptures, if one doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So there is that connection there. He also said that anyone who doesn't take care of his family is worse than an unbeliever, an infidel. And so we must provide. We must take care of these needs. But he did say, you will love one and hate the other. Now, I believe it may help us to understand what Jesus is saying here if we take a look at another passage in which he said something similar. Look at this passage with me. He said in Luke 14, if anyone comes to me and does not what? Hate who? His father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Again, the strong words. Strong words. So, are you hating your children? Are you hating your mother and father? It also includes not only them, but your family. And he says, your own life also. You must hate your own life also. So as followers of Christ, because we hate ourselves, because we love him, we go around trying to kill ourselves at any chance we get because we hate our life so much. This is not what he's teaching, is it? We know this is not what he is teaching. You're missing the point. God is interested in your heart. Your heart is seen by what you do. Jesus is interested in what you actually do with your money and your things, because that shows what is in your heart. And so, yes, what he's doing here is giving an extreme language, a contrast in how we are to keep him first in our lives. And next to our devotion to him, all else seems like hate. Now we know, we're told elsewhere, you know, husbands, love your wives. This is a Christian teaching. But still, we understand in priority, loving God, serving him as that kurios, that Lord, must come first at all times. Is God interested in your money? Yes, he is. Why? Because he needs it so much? No, but because he wants your heart. He wants your priority. He wants you. Can you imagine saying to your wife, you could mute me back there, you know, when I'm coughing. Excuse me. Can you imagine saying to your wife, look, dear, I know it's your birthday, but I'm not buying you anything this year. I also am not planning on taking you anywhere this year because I don't want to spend the money. No dates, no holidays. In fact, I'm really not going to be spending time helping you with household chores either. I won't do anything for you. Actually, I'm not even going to really be spending any time with you this year. But I want you to know I really do love you, okay? Can you imagine saying that to your wife? How would that go? How would it go, Bong? Oh, he shudders in fear at the thought. And rightly so. That just doesn't make any sense. Why do we think it's any different with God? He wants your heart. And that means your priority belongs to him 100%. So I ask you this week to take some time and do a self-inventory of how you're spending your time, your money, your energy. What are you spending it on the most? The things of God Don't think that this means that if you're not just at home praying and locking yourself in your room away from everybody else, then nothing you're doing is spiritual. That's not it either. All the things that we do should be spiritual. They can be spiritual. But we have to actually view our lives in a different way. Going to work tomorrow should be a spiritual act of worship to God, because you're going there and you are serving Him with all your heart. And you are praying as you go, Lord, help me to be an example for Christ in my speech, in my actions, and may everything I do be for the Lord, because it's Him I'm serving the most. Dads, being a dad is an act of worship if you do it for the Lord. Don't say, I'm sorry, son, I can't go out with you because I got to spend time in my Bible right now. There's a time for that, and we need to spend time in the Word. But spending time, investing yourself into your children as well as an act of worship, it's a spiritual act. God also wants you to invest your time, your energy, your money into your kids, into your family, and your wife, your husband. He wants you to love them as well. Loving your wife like Christ loved the church is worship. My friends, are you laying up treasures in heaven? Would you stand with me, please? With your head bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask a couple of simple questions, not too much time, but the first just involves your relationship with God. Do you have a relationship with Him? Do you know Him as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life, in your mind, that you can look back and you remember coming to Him and in faith, you know, in faith, bowing your knee and saying, Lord, forgive me. I confess my sin before you, and I turn to you, and I'm trusting you to save me. Have you done that? I would venture to say, of course, most of you would say in your hearts, yes. Yes, I have. But there may be some here who, if you are honest with yourself, you would have to say, I don't know, or no, I haven't. I've never trusted Jesus to be my Savior. I want to pray for you. I want to lift you up. And I want to pray that God works in your heart and brings you to that place of trusting Him. Is there anyone who would be so bold or honest to raise your hand and say, just pray for me? I want to trust Him. Raise your hand where you are. Pray for me. I want to trust Him. I'm not sure of my own salvation, my own relationship with God. I don't know. But I am concerned about this at this time. Pray for me. Brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you, like I said, to do an inventory of your own life. What are you serving the most? Are you focusing on self? Are you basically living like the world and seeking to accumulate all that you can because you have the philosophy that he who dies with the most wins? I want to encourage you to listen to the words of Jesus as he says to invest in the things above. Lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor thieves break in. I'll give us just a few minutes. Commit yourself to the Lord, your ways, everything you do. You're going to do it for Him. He requires 100% of you. At home, at work, with your family, with others that He brings to you. And He wants you to be that ambassador, that testimony, that light. He wants you to be that to them. Commit yourself to the Lord. Yes, Lord, I will. Help me to invest in things of heaven, not the earth. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us this morning. Lord, I pray, firstly, if there is anyone who was uncertain of their own salvation, their own relationship with you, Lord, that they may come and talk to myself or Pastor Mike or one of the many leaders that we have here and say, I want to trust Jesus. I want to trust him today. Lord, I pray that each of us would consciously remember that we cannot serve two masters, two kurios. We must serve one or the other. But Lord, may we, by your strength and power, serve only you. 100% our lives belong to you. May we lay up our treasures in heaven, not on earth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, would you take a seat and listen for a couple of announcements.
Thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message this morning. Laying up your treasures in heaven. Don't forget, right after our announcements, and we're finished in here at 10 o'clock, Casey and Chris will be in here, and they're going to be sharing a bit of a ministry update. So we'd like to ask that you all stay for the 10 o'clock session time and to hear from Casey and Christina. Our announcements, if you have your bulletin, just look on the inside pages. A few things we'd like to share with you. We have the combined youth night coming up next Friday night, Friday night, the 7th of September. It's going to take place at Cornerstone Baptist Church. You're going to be meeting here first, and then everyone is going to be driving over to Cornerstone. So you're meeting here at 6:30 for all of you who are able to go. If you're able to arrange some transportation and be able to drive along, see Josh and Denise about that. They'd like to have some drivers to transport everyone over there. So just see Josh and Denise if you have any questions coming up. Our church anniversary date coming up on the 30th of September, that's at the end of this month. It's also the same time as our time change. So we have those two things going on. And what we do is this, everyone will be meeting together for the one worship service, the 11 o'clock worship service. And when we finish the worship service, we have a special cake and things like that will be going on as well. And we're also going to be sharing a lunch together. So you're bringing lunch for your family and also enough to share around with everyone, and we'll meet out in the courtyard area for that church anniversary date. And then our Faith Promise pledge cards. If you were not here last week to turn those cards in, we want you to be able to turn those in this week. Now, Bong, thank you and the missions team for all your work this past month of getting this together, $92,500. And we exceeded the pledge, $97,000 or just over $97,000. That's fantastic and that's great. But we still want your pledge, because if the Lord has given us more than what we pledged and promised, you know what we're going to do with that? We're going to give that away as well. I mean, we'll find the right thing that the Lord has put in there. So don't say, oh, well, they don't need my pledge. Absolutely, the Lord needs what he's laid upon your heart to do. So keep that in mind as you turn in your pledge cards if you haven't already. Our missionaries that we're praying for this week, David and Wan Ying Chong, these are missionaries that we have supported for a couple of years now, and we continue to pray for them. So as often as the Lord leads them upon your heart, pray for them. And also, if you didn't receive one of these magnets, we still have some in the back on the information desk. These magnets have the names of our missionaries that are on here. So you can put this in a prominent place and remember to pray for our missionaries every day and every week. So continue to pray for them. Our missionary letters are posted on the board in the back. So I think that's all of the announcements that we need to make before we're dismissed, though. If you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary, we'd like to celebrate that with you. Anyone that's celebrating a birthday this coming week? Anyone with a birthday? Anyone at all? Come on. Who? Jamil. Come up, Jamil. And Chu as well. Jamil, you're going to play birthday. You're going to play the birthday song for your birthday. Is that right? No, Jennifer's going to come up and play. She's going to stand in. Come on up here, Jason. Anyone else with a birthday this week? Anyone else with a birthday? How about wedding anniversaries? Do we have anyone celebrating wedding anniversaries this week? No wedding anniversaries? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday. Pastor Ken's going to dismiss us in a time of prayer. Let's all sing Happy Birthday.
Thank you, Jenny, for jumping on the keyboard. Well, let's be dismissed. Grab some nice treats. I think some people have prepared some lovely Father's Day treats in the back. So enjoy and be back in here around 10 o'clock and come and listen to Brother Casey and Chris and what God's been doing in their lives since the last time that they were with us. So don't miss that. Let's pray and be dismissed. Thank you, Father. Dismiss us now with your blessings as we leave this place. Lord, may the fathers especially be blessed today. And Lord, we thank you for them. But Lord, may we leave here with these words in our mind that we would lay up treasure in heaven. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. You're dismissed. Mm-mm.